Okay, we are live here. We're back at lesson number 10 on the study of Joseph. We're glad that you have joined us. If you're listening to us on your recorder or however you listen, and we start off with our five review questions from last week. Very easy questions. So, Colette, what's the answer for number one? And I don't expect you to know it.
I'm guessing.
I just read it this morning.
Well, you can pass now. You can pass it off to Marlene. Marlene, what is the answer to number one? Who did Joseph keep in jail after sending his brothers back to Canaan? Who did he keep?
Benjamin.
No, Benjamin was not there.
Simeon.
Simeon. He kept Simeon. I don't know why he kept Simeon, but that's who has been waiting quite a while, because he cannot get released until the rest of the brothers come back with the youngest son, their youngest brother, which is Benjamin. All right, so number two. How did Reuben, who is the firstborn of Jacob, how did Reuben try to convince his dad to send Benjamin with the other brothers when they go back to Egypt? What did Reuben say to his dad? Remember?
Well, we don't come back, you can kill my sons.
Yeah, how many sons?
Two,
yeah. Which is kind of an odd thing to say, isn't it? Do you think he really meant that? It's hard to say. But he's just saying he was very determined, very confident that he would come back with Benjamin. Number three, does Jacob see God's hand in all that is happening here? Does Jacob, this is the dad, does he see God at work, God's hand in all of this that's taking place?
No.
No, he doesn't. No. Because, you know, he always kind of goes, poor as me, pity on me type of thing in a lot of ways after he gets done being a little bit bold on other things. Number four, does Joseph see God's hand in all of this?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. He does. Last one, who did the brothers blame when they discovered a pouch of silver in one of their grain sacks?
God.
Yeah, they blame God. Why is God? God's not for us. He's against us.
Yeah.
And they think the worst, which is a lot like their dad, isn't it? They think the worst, as Jacob shows us over and over. All right, we get into today's lesson, and we're going to read this portion of Scripture. It's found on chapter 43. We read the first 14 verses of chapter 43, and if you don't want to read, you just say pass. The next person can say pass, and we go on until somebody reads it. But that's okay. All right, Cheryl, you want to start?
Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the grain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, go back and buy us a little more food. But Judah said to him, the man warned us solemnly, you will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, you will not see my face again unless your brother is with you.
The plot thickens.
Yeah.
Israel asks, why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother? They replied, the man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. Is your father still living? He asked us, do you have another brother? We simply answered his questions. How are we to know he would say, bring your brother down here?
Yeah. Good. Man.
Then Judah said to Israel, his father, send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee this safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I bear the blame before you. I will blame before you all my life. As it is, we have not delayed. We could not have gone and returned twice.
Okay.
And their father Israel said to them, if it must be so, then do this. Take some of the best fruits of the land in your vessels and carry down a present for the man, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, pistachio nuts and almonds. Take double money in your hand and take back in your hand the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight.
Very good. 13.
Take your brother also and come back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved.
All right, that's where we stop. Whew. Some good things in here. Number one, the famine is still severe and the grain that was brought back from Egypt is blank. They ate it all up. Huh? No, they brought back quite a bit of grain, didn't they?
Well,
I mean, I would think.
With animals.
I would think they, I mean, there's a lot of grain, which meant good for them, but bad for Simeon.
Right.
Because Simeon, he can't get out of jail until they come back. And how? And look at, they waited until they ate all the food they got the first time they went down to Egypt before they go down. And now Judah is probably the only one that sees this, like, you know, we could have did this a long time ago. But now that's all gone, we got to go. And he takes responsibility for Benjamin. Okay, so who brings up the idea to go back to Egypt for more grain?
Jacob.
The dad, Jacob. He finally says it. So it's kind of like maybe the boys were just waiting for their dad to say something before they went. I don't know. Number two, what does Judah remind his dad about in going back to Egypt?
They have to take Benjamin along.
Yeah, and what else? How were they treated by this prime minister of Egypt when they were with him?
Harshly.
Or rudely.
Yeah, he even treated them pretty nasty. So he reminds them, hey, last time we were there, Dad, this guy was not happy with us. He thought we were spies, and he wants. Just remind him that he just was not a very good guy. But he said, we if we come back again, we better have Benjamin with us because he's the youngest. All right. Three. What is Judah's moral track record with Joseph? We're just thinking of Judah. He's a brother to Joseph. What is his track record with Joseph?
Did he come up with the idea to sell him?
Yes.
Okay. What's his idea?
He came up with the idea to sell Joseph rather than to kill him and sold him to the Ishmaelite caravan that was headed south. And how much did they sell him for? How many pieces of silver?
20.
Which is less than a slave is worth. A slave is worth 30. Jesus was bought, or they bribed.
30.
They bribed Judas Iscariot. They said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver if you turn Jesus over to us. And that's the price of a slave. Okay. Well, how about Tamar, his daughter-in-law? What is Judah's moral track record with Tamar, his daughter-in-law? Now, we didn't go over this. We didn't study this. It was just, I found this out on my own.
Don't know.
You know, because Judah married outside of the Jews. He didn't find a Jewish wife. He found a wife that was outside the clan. He then found wives for his two boys that he had with his wife. God struck both of his sons dead because they were bad guys. And so his sons' wives that were left as widows, he said that his some of their younger sons or something had to grow up more before they could marry their... It doesn't make any sense. No. Marry their...
He had another son. And he waited. He said, you can marry my son when he gets old enough. So yeah. I don't know how long that was. And then when that happened, when he got old enough, then Judah did not give Tamar to him either.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Tamar disguised herself as a prostitute and sat at the gate. Judah came.
Judah went away from the house, from the home. And on the way, he saw her sitting alongside the road, as, dressed up as a prostitute. And she took from him some things that would identify who he was. And when they found out that he found out something that he thought that Tamar should be stoned to death.
Well, he found out she was pregnant.
Somebody told him she was pregnant.
And who
was probably pregnant by?
Well, she brought out those possessions and talked to him and said, the man who gave me these is the father of my child.
Yeah. Which was?
Judah said, I have done wrong. You are more upright than I am because he didn't keep his promise. Judah didn't keep his promise to Ker. So...
How did you know?
Because we just studied this in BSF. In my other study, yeah. Yeah, so it's really, I think it's a crazy story, and I just go, ugh.
Where is that story?
In Kings.
Well, it's in Genesis here, too. I'm looking at it.
Oh, I'm
38.
Sorry. In Genesis, then. Oh, okay.
Starting with verse 11, and then it goes on from there.
So Judah's moral track record with Tamar, his daughter-in-law, blank. What will you put in the blank? He was unfaithful.
Well, he lied.
And he lied.
And then he became the father of a child.
He's unfaithful to his wife. Or did his wife die?
I don't know. Judah's? I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so we're looking at, Judah is the one that comes up, speaks up now to his dad, Jacob. And I just bring out that, hey, Judah is not the nicest guy here either. This is a messed up family.
I was going to say none of them were.
It's a messed up family. And we kind of talked about that before. That Joseph, sometimes you think of Joseph must have came from a really clean, squeaky clean family and did very well and very godly, da-da-da-da. And yet, we're finding that this is very complex because Jacob ends up with having kids with four different women. He married Leah. He didn't, and then he married Rachel, but then each of them had maidservants, and he slept with both of them. And that's how you come up with 12 boys.
Thank you.
All right, so number four. What is behind Jacob's question in verse 6? Go back to verse 6. I want to read that out loud.
Israel asks, why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?
So what's behind that question? What do you think? It can't be a wrong answer. So don't be afraid of saying, like, I was wrong. What do you think is behind that question?
Well, it's all your fault he wants to take my favorite son.
Well, we kind of see Jacob again. Pity little old me.
Yeah, blaming.
Blaming himself a little bit, just thinking about himself. He's a sad dad, hoping that his boys wouldn't talk so much as they did when he went down to Egypt. But I would have done the same thing. But the prime minister was asking questions like that. I did the same thing. But now he's kind of going like, so why did you have to tell him all these things about our family? And he doesn't know who the prime minister of Egypt is at this point. So it's just kind of like, too, as you're growing up, I don't know what it was like. Oh, okay, we're back. Let's look at question number 5. Why do you suppose the sons of Israel wanted to take special care of Benjamin? You know, they're paying a lot of attention here to Benjamin. When they wanted to harm Joseph, they didn't care for Joseph, their other brother. So since Joseph is gone, guess who then has become the number one son?
Yeah, Benjamin.
Benjamin. And so Joseph wants to keep a close eye on Benjamin. And of course, Benjamin is also the son from
Rachel.
From Rachel, his real love all along. And Joseph was the son of
Rachel.
So that's why these are kind of special guys for him. And so, so why do you think they're being so nice or careful with Benjamin when they never did like Joseph? And maybe Benjamin is, what's that?
Maybe they learned their lesson.
Well, it could be that, you know, but Benjamin could be a completely different kind of a guy
than
what Joseph was too.
He doesn't have a colored coat.
That's right. He wasn't given a colored coat or a robe either, you know. But I think they kind of knew this is Dad's next favorite, which left them
probably wanted to keep favor in his eyes too.
Yeah.
Plus Judah said, "You can kill my sons."
Yeah.
So he had to protect his own.
I know. It's funny. Jacob didn't say, "No, oh, that's a stupid thing to say."
That's his grandkids.
I'm not going to kill any of my grandkids. You shouldn't even talk that way, you son. All right, let's go on here. Number six, was there any concern in this family for Simeon?
Don't see.
There doesn't seem to be a whole lot, does there? Nobody's talking about
like
Simeon.
Like you said, who knew how long they left him there? Right?
The only thing is that Jacob did say, let's see, where was that? May he send back your other brother and Benjamin.
Yeah. At the end there.
Just a very.
But in the meantime, it's just kind of like.
I know.
Nobody really cares about Simeon. You'd think they'd be going like, we got to get back down there quick to get Simeon back with us. But there's no talk like that, which kind of makes you wonder. Again, it's kind of a messed up family. And yet, a lot of them are married. They have their own kids, you know. And eventually, I mean, they all get down to Egypt. How many go down to Egypt at the very end there?
All of them.
How many is that about?
Oh, almost 11.
There's 70.
Oh, way back then.
70 people in the family of Jacob at that time when they come down there. And they stay there for probably 400 years. And that's where they... After this pharaoh, they get different pharaohs along the way that don't know Joseph at all. They get so far away left in history that all of a sudden they get uptight about too many Israelites in Egypt. They get a little paranoid, and so they make them make a bunch of bricks, then without straw and some with straw. And I mean, that's where Moses comes in at that time. All right. No charge for that little bit of information, by the way. What did Judah mean by saying, we could have gone to Egypt and returned twice? Remember him saying that? Verse 10, yeah.
He's telling him, if you just quit delaying us, we could go get him.
Yeah. It's kind of like slow decision making was taking place. Why couldn't they make a quicker decision about that than when they did? They kind of waited till all the grain was gone. And then it was like, okay, I think it's time for you guys to go back down there, get some more food, some more grain. But Dad, we can't go there unless you send Benjamin.
That was the crust of it.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, because they never told him about it till then. You know, they should have told Jacob about it right away.
I know. So let's go on here. Number seven. How was the second trip to Egypt different than the first trip?
Well,
Well, they didn't kill anybody or want to.
Well, they took presents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. In the second trip, the sons of Jacob took some of the best
fruits
or the products that come from Canaan. And then they took those as a
present,
as a gift. Some would kind of say, some would maybe a bribe a little bit, hoping that that would kind of make the big wig down there.
And they took twice the money, too.
Well, then, yeah. So Jacob said, you know, return, make the first payment, and I'll add to that. So they took twice the silver, and because they didn't want to offend the Egyptians at all. Now, here's a question I wrote in here that's not on your sheet. What would you send from Iowa?
Corn.
What would be the product? What?
Beef. Pork.
When you think, what are the things that you had to send to another country that came from your state, or what do you think would be important to send that they would think that that was a pretty neat thing? And all these answers you've given are really good.
Wind power.
That's important.
How do you transport?
Take a windmill.
Just one blade. The wind turbine there. Yeah. So I just thought that throw there. Sometimes you just take a T-shirt. I'm from Iowa. Maybe a Hawkeye would be on there or something, you know. The Hawkeye looks a little bit Egyptian. So, okay, we'll move on. What does verses 11 through 14 tell you about Jacob? Someone will read verses 11, 12, 13, and 14. What does it tell you about Jacob?
Well, 11. Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags and carry them down as a present to the man. A little balm and a little honey, gum, resin, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Take double the money with you. Carry back with you the money that was returned on the top of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight."
Mm-hmm. So what do you learn about Jacob, him saying that?
Well, he was kind of
matter of after all.
What's that, Carla?
He was kind hearted after all.
Oh, he was kind.
They were thankful for the grain that they had brought
back. Yeah. He was generous. I think somebody over here said generous. He definitely was generous. So, I mean,
I don't think he was doing it to be generous, though. I think he was trying to buy his son.
This could be a ransom.
Yeah.
To get his boys back, yeah. Too. Mm-hmm. It could be, you know, just to make a good impression.
Yeah.
That he would, that this would happen, be the result of that.
He was a good businessman, obviously.
So it takes us to the next question, number 8 there. It says, was Jacob an optimist or a pessimist or both? Explain your answer.
I think he was a little of both. That's why he was covering all his bases.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's some things he...
And he was hoping that if he did this, then everything would be okay, because he was a little afraid that it wouldn't.
Yeah. And typically, is it like Jacob to do this? I mean, what did we learn about Jacob prior to this?
He was
a man of few words. He wouldn't say a whole lot of anything. He just kind of let his boys do whatever his boys wanted to do. But he's concerned about them. All right, number 9. What does El Shaddai, a Hebrew word, mean? You've got it already interpreted in your verse in the Bible. El Shaddai means... What do you see in your Bible?
God Almighty.
Yep. Anytime you see the word El, or hear the word El, it means God. El. And then what follows would be maybe an attribute. Says something about who he is.
El Shaddai, God Almighty. Shaddai is Almighty, powerful, omnipotent, another way to say it. Okay, so some of you are wondering, like, now where did he get that from?
Or why?
I just saw down on a footnote that El Shaddai, and I go like, I could ask him, well, what is the Hebrew word for God Almighty? And you guys would have no clue, but if I just said, okay, what does El Shaddai mean? Somebody might know what it is, or you might have it as a footnote or something in your Bible.
There's a song. You sing that.
There's a song. Amy Grant sings it.
Okay.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, if I die, I'll be okay. That's what I'm doing. All right. 10. Jacob's final statement to his 10 sons would have been great if he would have stopped with blank. What he says to them is really good, but where should he have stopped? But he didn't.
Just leave the last statement off.
Yeah. If he just not had that last statement, he'd have been good. But he includes it. And it's like, he's talking to his boys, why did they say so much? He says too much here, because they would have left then with thinking about El Shaddai and what God, you know, bringing God into the whole situation. But when he ends it by what he says there, where am I at?
As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved.
There you go, yeah. Yeah. So he goes back to then. He has his own little pity party. Mm-hmm. And if he had just left that out, it would have been a much better send-off for his sons than just bringing it back on himself. 11, Jacob's final comment is one of resignation. That's what goes in the blank. Jacob's final comment is one of resignation, of a willingness to accept the blank scenario. His scenario is always the worst. He's always thinking the worst. Sound a little bit like you? Poor me. If none of you come back, I'll just have to live with it. Self-pity, whining, God is against me. We talked about that in previous lessons. All right, our last question is, what do you suppose these 10 brothers talked about on their way to Egypt?
They had been awful worried about how they were going to be received, that's for sure.
You know, do you think they, or do you think Benjamin maybe heard the real story on that trip back down to Egypt of what they had done to Joseph? I mean, I don't know. There's no way of knowing.
I doubt it. That's one of those things, the family.
It's a family secret.
You don't even talk when the whole family there.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they've kept this from their dad. But now it's a different situation. They think that Simeon was kept there. It wasn't fair for him to keep Simeon, but then now they brought the youngest boy, and it's kind of like, well, what if he keeps both of them? I mean, they don't know that the prime minister of Egypt is going to let go anyway.
There must have been some fear on that trip.
There's always been fear with these guys. They've had a conscience that has been activated of, like, it brings back this whole thing. I mean, they've had it all along. What they did to Joseph that wasn't right, and that God is getting back at them for that.
Remembering what had happened.
Yeah, so they're remembering a lot of things, and they're blaming God for it all. So
makes you wonder if they were figuring out, how did he know that he had a younger brother?
Well, they told him.
Well, they did, but how did?
Well, why would he even ask questions like that?
Yeah.
About their family. I mean, like, wouldn't you find that a little strange? But, you know, when you're full of fear, you just answer
things.
I mean, if you're in front of Vladimir Putin, he'd ask you questions about different things. Wouldn't you answer them? Or you go like, no, I plead the Fifth Amendment. Yeah. I mean, we'd probably all do those kinds of things. But just interesting, because we can look at it in hindsight, that these are kind of some personal questions that just aren't normal for someone who doesn't really know you and is in a high position in the government to ask you. So it'd be interesting, you know, because I mean, how long would it take for them to travel to, we said, Cairo? I mean, it took weeks for them to get there. And so you just think of all the things that they had to think about or talk to each other. Benjamin is there now. And I just wonder if he gets to hear the whole scoop on what happened within the family. But we'll never know.
None of our business.
All they know is that they're going down to get food and to bring back Simeon and Benjamin. They're not planning on staying there.
They might be talking about, I wonder how Simeon's doing.
Well, I wonder what Simeon's going to say when he sees him.
Yeah. Where are you going?
What took you so long? You know, or I thought I'd never see you again. Or it's sure good to see you guys. But maybe we'll find out next week. We are going to meet next Thursday, even though we've got Monday, Thursday service. So we will meet next Thursday.
Is there any service on Friday?
Yes, 6:30.
Okay.
Good Friday service at 6:30. Yeah, I'll be so glad when Easter's gone. It's always good to come back and revisit all this stuff, too.
We need to pray.
Yeah. Turn this off.
You can hear the words.